It's the relaxation which expands our consciousness, brings us closer to wholeness. And this is what happiness is about. So they become happy. They are able to intuit that there is more to life than making money. There is more to life than just learning to do a job. And this is where meaning gradually enters back into life. Values enter back into life. The capacity for relationship increases. And this is what we need. So right livelihood is to change society in such a way that there will be a modicum. I'm not saying that every job needs to be meaningful. We are not ready for that yet. But a modicum of meaningful jobs where more than just a few handful of people will have the capacity, will have the prerogative, will have the opportunity to explore meaning.
Where does discontinuity fit into all this?
Discontinuity is how we discover new meaning. If we allow continuity to reign our life, as conservatives like, because they don't want change, mm-hmm. then we never have new meaning. We never have any role for creativity. But then how does change come at all? Change cannot come in our... So environment always changes, and we cannot solve environmental problems always with a rehash of what we know, what is already there. We need new meaning. We need new thinking. How do we get them? By being creative. And creativity requires these quantum leaps, like that electron which goes between orbits in a discontinuous jump without going through the intervening space. Similarly, we need a discontinuous change in thought.
If you could answer one question that you've always wanted to ask, what would that question be?
You have to ask me the question.
Yeah.
How would I know the one question that, well, look, I'm curious about so many things. You know, right now, my curiosity maximally expands towards how to develop, you know, the details of a spiritual economics. I already have understood the basic elements of it, but I want to know the details. So right now, at this moment, if you tell me, okay, what are the questions that you most want to be answered, I would say questions of spiritual economics. How to spiritualize economics?
Ah, you think we'll ever get those answers?
I think so. The basic idea could be as simple as saying that we have to bring in subtle energies, subtle aspects of our life into the economic equation. You know, Adam Smith was a very spiritual man. This is not very well known. Many people think Adam Smith must have been materialist. They identify capitalism with materialism. It's just not true. Capitalism is a wonderful system. Adam Smith did the best he could that was possible in his time, because science at that time was talking about matter, so he equated human needs as material needs. If he had the knowledge that we have now, he would have said, no, we need not only material stuff, we also need happiness, we also need meaning, we also need vital energies, vitality. So all of these needs would have to be satisfied. And what best to satisfy them than build an economy which will have these various components? Why can't we think of production of meaning? Actually, we do already a little bit at the universities, production of meaning. Why can't we have production of values? That's what the purpose of religion used to be. So in this way, we can actually put, because we can now quantify these subtle energies a lot. By taking advantage of that, we can bring these subtle aspects into the economy, and so we then supplement the idea of gross domestic product also with a happiness index of happy living.
When you talk about happiness, you have a theory of creative evolution. What is that?
Well, I was talking about this earlier. You know, Darwinian evolution is continuous.
Right.
So that's the conditioned part of evolution. Evolution where nature adjusts to changes of environment by selecting those variations in organisms that help the organism to survive. So it's really an adaptation theory. To make real change, we need creative quantum leaps. So that's creative evolution. Creative evolution has a quantum part and a classical Newtonian part. The Newtonian part we call Darwinism. Darwin discovered it. Now we are discovering this new quantum part where we need to make a quantum leap. Consciousness makes a quantum leap, and that's what leads to macro evolution of a species to another. You know, when you think about the enormity of the problem that is to be solved when the reptile has given rise to an egg, but this egg, when it bursts open, a bird flows out of it. I mean, imagine the enormity of this change. How could this happen in a continuous way? So that is what discontinuous quantum leaps are needed to conceptualize.
Do you think this universe is alive?
I think the universe is very much alive. The universe is alive and conscious. The universe is very much alive and conscious and purposeful. And the purpose is to manifest those great archetypes, Platonic terms, you know, love, beauty, justice, truth, goodness. Those are the things that we are moving towards. Look, you just look several hundred years back, you know, we used to live literally the cowboy movies, you know, people could move into a bar and could be killed. Mm-hmm. Does such a thing happen today? Well, today, if a person comes and kills somebody, we call it a major tragedy. But these major tragedies used to happen just 100 years ago, routinely, you know.
On the streets.
Right on the streets. Yeah. And we have changed. We have changed. We have changed enormously. This is the evolution of consciousness that we can see the non-Darwinian component of it. In Darwinism, it never could have happened that way.
Yet not everybody has that capability, or do they have the capability, they just can't do it?
Well, everybody has the potential capacity to negate the tendencies of negative emotion, tendencies of violence. One really has to delve into positivity. One has to build positive emotional brain circuit. And that takes creativity. That takes exploration. That takes engagement. You know, there is the saying that fake it before you can make it. But to fake it, you have to have faith. Where does that faith to fake come from? That faith comes from a creative quantum leap that it really is okay to love. And I really can love. I don't have to be violent, although the tendency is built into me. When somebody does not act according to my wishes, I have a tendency of not liking it, and I have the tendency to become angry, and then I may become so angry that I become violent. But the creative realization is that I don't have to be. I don't have to be, and I instead can really love the person and not become violent just because the person is not agreeing with me. That capacity.